What's going on, everyone? It's Rob and Johnny. Welcome to episode 63 of the MM Arcade Podcast. Two podcasts in a week, Rob. Damn.
Yeah, dude, this is wigging me out.
We only did this 2 days ago.
Yeah, and you know how, like, how many times I've called you to be like, do we have to do it Friday? Like, so just struggling to find a time slot. But here we are.
Here we are, and we're going to do it, and that means we are prepared for when I do go overseas for work. So we are not missing a beat, and the next episode will be our reactions to UFC 314. But today, we're going to be talking about our predictions. So, of course, Alexander Volkanovski against Diego Lopez, Chandler against Pimlet, and we'll be rattling off a lot of the other fights as well. So if you do enjoy this video, please like, subscribe. It really, really does help. But Rob, let's start off with that main event.
UFC 314.
I can't believe we're almost there already. Like, this is a banger of a card. I'm really excited for this.
I'm super excited for the main event. Like, not even just the main event. There are a lot of banging fights on this.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, especially Patricio Pitbull coming to the UFC for the first time. That's sick, right? But we'll talk about that. Let's talk about Volk. Because our boy is back. Our Aussie is back. He's back fighting for the title. He said it was his next fight was going to be for the title. We just didn't think it was going to be against Diego Lopez. We thought it would be against Ilia Topuria. He obviously vacates. Everything happens that happened. So now Volk is fighting Diego Lopez for the title. Volkanovski, 26 wins, 4 losses. Coming off losses, of course, against Islam Makhachev and Ilia Topuria when he lost the title. Diego Lopez on a tear, 26 wins, 6 losses. Coming off against that brutal win against Brian Ortega, Dan Ige, Sadiq Youssef, and also Pat Sabatini. Sabatini. Rob, what do you think of this fight?
Well, I'm super pumped.
Yeah,
for this fight. But I think I have the same questions as everybody else. And let me clear straight away. I'm going for Volk.
Okay? Oh, so, same. Yeah.
So everything is going to be colored green and gold. All right. Now, but I think the million-dollar question is what Volk are we going to see in the octagon come that night? UFC 314, because everyone was already talking about his losses to Makhachev, his knockout, and then you're back that onto the knockout with Topuria, back that onto his age. And as MMA fans like to do, as soon as he lost, they started throwing his age around and calling him a wash, which is the silliest thing I've ever heard. Like, MMA fans are the best and worst of us as people. They really are. But truth is, he's been out for a while now. Mm-hmm. He's coming off 3 losses in a row.
Two losses in a row.
Two losses in a row. Yeah. Makhachev and Topuria.
Yeah.
Did bad losses the last couple. His age is a factor in this. Which Volk are we going to see in the octagon come 314? Diego Lopez, right now, running that confidence and hype train like nobody's business.
Yeah.
He's just – momentum is a serious thing in MMA because it just promotes so much confidence in yourself. It promotes so much doubt in your opponents, and you just run with it, and you can see it. We've seen it many, many times, many fold against multiple other fighters. It's happened time and time again. I feel like Conor is a big example of that when he was just running through people. Pereira as well before his last fight, right? Yeah. Now, Diego Lopez is running that train. He put a beating on Ortega.
That was brutal, bro.
Mate, it was hard to watch. Oh,
yeah.
Side note, how tough is Ortega, bud?
Dude, do you remember when Diego dropped him, knocked him out, hit him again, and woke him back up?
In the same combo. Like, wild.
Just crazy.
Wild. But Diego's in a very, very dangerous form right now. Okay? Yeah. Makhachev 1, Volk, I think beats Diego Lopez. Volk's skill set and just his composure, his toughness, his grit, his fight IQ, his ability to fight in the octagon is zero to none, second to none. Okay, he's amazing. But again, with all the other factors we look into it, which Volk do we see?
I'm very torn, man. As you said at the beginning, I'm rooting for Volk. I will always support the local Aussie. Like, same, it's going to be the same case with JDM when he fights Bilal very soon, right? But I can't lie. I'm a little bit worried because we've seen Diego Lopez. We've seen how ruthless he is. He's going to go in there with reckless abandon, and he's not going to care. He's going to look to get that shot on Volk, and he's going to get many good shots, I'm sure. My big question is Volk's chin up for it? Because what happened, we all know what happened last time, and there's no need to rehash it too much, but short notice fight against Islam, he clearly wasn't ready, and then he came back too quickly, right? So, like, now he's taken the proper time to actually, you know, take a break, recover from the several knockouts. So he might be fine. He might be just fine. It might be like we saw Steve Ursa get knocked out against Kyra France, and then he takes the time, come back, and his chin's great, right? That could be the case here because he's actually taking the proper break. But it might not be. I don't know. I'm genuinely torn.
Well, I guess it's also because, like, he needs the time off, but time is ticking.
Yeah,
you know, it's a constant factor in this game when you're on the back end of your career, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, and Diego Lopez he's 30, right? So he's still got that fire. He's never been closer to the title. Mm. So and you can see in those fights, you saw the way he fought Ortega. He's hungry. He's so hungry. And I'm just, he's going to come into that octagon like a savage. Willing to give it all. And that's how Volk was. And that's what I want to see Volk do come 3-14. Because that Volk, that fought his way to the belt, that was holding onto the belt, unstoppable Volk.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think there's no denying it. That prime Volk definitely beats, you know, prime Diego Lopez, right? No denying it. But that's not where we are right now, unfortunately. We're in a position where Volk, he's not old, right? Like, he's a little older. I think he's 37, right? So he's a little older, coming off a couple of serious losses, right, where he gets knocked out. That's not the position that we're in. If I was thinking with my head really seriously here, my worry is that Diego comes in, couple of shots on him, and then it slides out again for Volk, and that might be it. Not necessarily for his career, but at least for his title aspirations. But on the contrary, we could see incredibly well-rounded Volk that keeps him at bay, maybe engages in a bit of grappling. But Diego is also very good at that as well. We saw that in his debut fight against Movsar Evoyev. So, I'm trying to be objective here, but it's hard, bro. It's genuinely hard.
You know, I see Volk going in there using full skill sets, landing shots, going for takedowns, wearing Diego Lopez down, riding him for 5 rounds and winning decision. Or by getting him out of there in the later end of the rounds.
I don't know, man. Last time, the biggest example that I get is Israel against Nassadine, right? I thought this will be when Israel shows the world that he still has it, and then he gets knocked out. I'm just getting...
To be fair, he was doing really well until then.
I know, but that doesn't matter. He lost. Yeah. And I'm like, crap. I'm rooting for Volk. He's going to be my prediction. Similarly as you said, right? He rides it out. He works his way towards a decision. But goddamn, I don't know, man.
Volk's skill set's top tier. I can see him chopping that calf, you know, doing his step in, his step through left hand. Mm-hmm. I can see him pushing Diego backwards, using, like, dropping for doubles against the fence. He stopped using it as much in his later. Once he was champ, except for against people like Yaiz bullying him with it, but he wrestled a lot in the beginning of his career, and utilized it to great effect. So I think if we see, I reckon we see well-rounded Volk, top tier skill set, and we have another, you know, champ in Australia.
I hope so. I want him to bring it back home. I want him to fight somewhere here, defending the belt, especially because, like, you listen to what he says about wanting to be active. Like, if he gets the belt, he doesn't want to sit on the sideline. He's very cognizant of the fact that he's getting a little bit older. So if he wins the belt, he says he's going to get back in there. He's going to defend it against Movsar or whoever it might be. If Ilya wants to go back down, he'll defend it. Like, he wants to fight like 3 months after this. Now, it all depends on injuries and everything. But just for that reason, I want to see Volk as champion. I want to see an active champ. Now, I don't deny that Diego wouldn't be that, but also Volk's Aussie. So I'm going for Volk. That's my official prediction.
Got it.
Can't do it. Can't do it otherwise. Next fight, though, in the co-main, we have a very, very compelling fight. Michael Chandler against Paddy Pimblett. Michael Chandler, 23 wins, 9 losses. Of course, he's coming off that recent loss against Charles Oliveira. He got submitted by Dustin Poirier. But Paddy Pimblett, 22 wins, 3 losses. He just beat King Green, Bobby Green, Tony Ferguson, Jared Gordon, and Jordan Levitt. Rob, what do you reckon of this one?
Now, let me ask you what you reckon first. I got a good idea in my head, but I just want to see something.
We just saw Chandler for four rounds against Charles Oliveira get manhandled. Chandler had no answer aside from the fifth when he became Muscle Milk Mike, and he just freaking just went crazy for a couple of minutes. And it was doing really well, to give him credit. But for the vast majority of that fight, he was getting manhandled. Paddy Pimblett's grappling is very incredibly underrated. Like, he's actually very, very good at what he does. We saw that against Bobby Green. Bobby Green was a bit silly in shooting for a freaking takedown, but still did very well. I see that going this way. I see Paddy Pimblett being able to work the takedown, get into the grappling, and submit Michael Chandler. And I think that's the difference between, I think Paddy will be very dangerous in the submission game compared to what Charles couldn't do. Like, he was able to dominate him, of course, but he never worked in that submission. I think Paddy Pimblett would actually do that.
Now, I definitely think Paddy can win. I think he has a shot. He has a path to victory.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's just like kind of piecing him up, wearing him out, dragging him into his space, and just creating that scenario. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if Paddy's ever come across a guy that is as explosive and as athletic as Michael Chandler. Like, you know what keeps flashing back to me is Michael Chandler versus Hooker.
I don't know, but how long ago was that, bro?
Yeah, but it happened. And Hooker is so hard to put away. But the explosiveness to close that gap. And to be fair, when Michael Chandler explodes out like that, he creates problems for everyone.
Sure.
He created problems. Even though he lost those last two fights, he created problems for Poirier in that first round. Big problems. He created problems for Charles in that last round.
Yeah.
Okay. Granted, he maybe pulled the trigger a bit too late, right?
But,
like 20 minutes too late. But it's there. This is a three-round fight. Three-round fight against Paddy, who I don't think has ever come across a guy as explosive and as experienced as Michael Chandler. Like, when I say experienced, I mean he's experienced high-level fights. Like, Michael Chandler's coming off fights with Charles Oliveira. Paddy's coming off a fight with King Green. Okay, there is a discrepancy there.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay, and there's a certain discrepancy with your mental prowess going into it. With the mental prowess, your eyes, your reaction, all that. It's all a part of it. And I feel.
There is no denying that this is Paddy's biggest test yet, right? Like, before that, it was probably Bobby Green, but Bobby Green, he's in the later stages of his career, and that's maybe an understatement. When he fought Tony Ferguson, very, very similar story, right? Like, he's not fought...
To Bobby's defense, Michael Chandler's in the later stages of his career too, dude. He's 38.
No, but like, I wouldn't put them on the same level. Like, I would say... Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel Chandler performs better. I don't know, but Bobby Green did pretty well.
I think that's the sleeping dog, though. It's like Chandler is on the back end of his career. But he's
so athletic. Like,
he's a freak, dude.
He's a freak. Like, even though he's a bit older, he's got the body of a 33, 34-year-old. Do you know what I mean? Whereas, I don't think Bobby Green can be – you can describe him like that. But there's no denying it in terms of ranking, in terms of, like, you know, who – I mean, Bobby Green is – back in the days, fought some crazy guys. I'm still going with Paddy Pimblett, though. Like, even though I still think it's his hardest test yet. It's a step up in competition for sure. But Paddy's grappling, his submission game is seriously next level. I don't know if Paddy Pimblett's ever going to become the champion, right? Not in that division. But I think he at least beats Michael Chandler at this stage in his career.
You know what is crazy? I think, how old's Paddy? You know, I'm looking at it.
I'm going to guess he's 29. I don't know.
He's 30. He's actually 30.
Oh, it's pretty close.
But he's got enough time to make adjustments too. And fighters do it all the time where they make adjustments and they come in hot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is the feeling Michael Chandler has given me the last few years. He is so promising. He is so dangerous and strong. And he really looks like he's about to put the guy he's fighting away.
Mm.
But then something happens and and he just gasses. He gets tired,
yep.
And he gets either submitted or he gets finished, or you know what I mean.
Can I be honest with you about Michael Chandler? He showboating might be the wrong word, but he's all about the entertainment. And don't get me wrong, that's why I love watching a Michael Chandler fight. Like when he had Charles on his back and was slamming him down, that was all for the laughs. That was all for the clicks and everyone's enjoyment. But I think that's going to cost him against Paddy Pimblett. I know Paddy Pimblett's not perfect. Like, Paddy needs to work on his defense, especially against someone like Chandler. But the best defense is a great offense. And if he can get the takedown, if he can get the submission, I think he'll actually submit Michael Chandler. I'm so confident on this. That's my prediction, for sure.
Oh, you know, that's such a good call, though. Mm. Oh!
Say it.
You know, like, I want both guys to
You
win.
Always lean towards the old guard. I've noticed that about you.
Yes. Because I am the old guard now. You know what I mean? I am the old guard now. But I really like Paddy. Ever since he had that falling from grace,
yes,
and he just came back hungry, came back switched on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I've been his biggest spokesman since
yeah.
then.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go against him because of that.
That was Paddy when he put his hair was in the braids. He was fighting Tony Ferguson.
Yeah.
That,
you know what?
Paddy, yeah.
You know what? I don't have to. I've just realized I'm not going for anyone. I've given my statements. I reckon Chandler's going to come out really hot and heavy. He's going to come out hard and fast like he always does. He'll slowly fade. I expect Paddy to start beating him with volume. If Chandler goes for a lazy submission, lazy takedown. Yeah. Paddy's submission game is super underrated.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about the fight.
So both of us predict Paddy Pimblett to win.
let's go Paddy.
And in terms
I got Paddy to win.
Yeah. In terms of the other fights on the main card, we have Bryce Mitchell versus the fighting nerd John Silva. Yair Rodriguez is fighting Patricio Pitbull, as I mentioned. First fight in the UFC. Very excited to see him. Nikita Krylov finally returns. It's been a good few years since he's fought in the UFC. I don't know what went on there, but he's fighting Dominic Reyes, who is on a bit of a tear as well. That fight against Anthony Smith was absolutely brutal. Do you have any just like random thoughts about these remaining fights? Yep.
So Bryce Mitchell, John Silva. Crazy meets crazy, right? My feed is so full of Bryce Mitchell, like just talking to different people about flat earth and then demons and devils coming out of everywhere and how John Silver's possessed, et cetera, like it's filled with it. I don't know where my phone picked up someone talking about Bryce Mitchell, but that's all that's on my damn feed right now. Okay, John Silva is just playing it as well. He's loving it. I am so curious to see this fight, right?
Yeah.
Yair and Patricio. It's the same thing when Venom, Michael Page came into the UFC. Everyone, it's always like a competition comparison.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're looking in here. But I think Patricio,
mm-hmm.
is Pitbull his actual last name?
I think it actually
is. Like, I'm looking at it. That's wild if it is.
Let me check.
Okay.
I think it is Pitbull. No, it's not. I lie. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's Freire. So Freire, okay. I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. it's hard to pronounce. So.
I'm looking at the notes. I'm like, is that never actually Pitbull? I
Mr.
think
Worldwide.
This is a great fight for his entry to the UFC. Yeah. He's a funny one, isn't he?
He's such an unorthodox striker, bro.
Dude, and he's so hot and cold, dude. Yeah. So hot and cold. Like when we saw him fight Emmett,
mm-hmm.
I thought he was going to kill him. Mm. He'd gone up to the mountains and secluded himself for weeks in like up in Mexico or somewhere, like just locking himself away to like really hone into his craft and came in and put a beating on. And then he fought Volk and got hurt. Got hurt real bad. And then with Ortega.
Same thing
happened. He was looking so good. It's like mm-hmm. if he doesn't get his way or if the person he's fighting doesn't go away, he goes away. But then we saw that fight with Zombie that is in the highlight reel forever.
Yeah.
Right? Ah, funny dude. Hard person to pick. But like I think for Patricio, he's a good entry fight.
For sure.
Just because I feel like it's all dependent on which Yair you get.
Yeah.
Like, it's honestly, I feel like it's almost flip a coin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But also Yair is always fighting the top dudes as well, like, you know, Volk, Ortega, like, you know, Holloway, I think he fought in the past, so yeah.
Yeah, poor dude. He's killing people. Yeah. He's fighting killers.
Yeah, yeah. And what about Krylov and Reyes? I'm just can I just say, I'm just happy that Reyes is back. Like, he's been on a tear. He obviously had the big slump after the John Jones fight. Who knows what was going on in his head? He returns back to his coach. He's on a bit of a tear, destroys Anthony Smith. Oh man, I'm just happy that he's here, and I think he's going to beat Krylov. Like, Krylov's been out of the game too long, in my opinion.
Because you know, fights like that he had with Jones, they take a little bit of your soul.
Yeah,
like, you can't have fights like that for free. Mm-hmm. They can't. And I compare it to my fight with Romero the second time.
Sure,
it takes something away from you, and that takes time to build back up to get back to the way you were. And I can see that with Reyes. Like, he had that slump, especially when he's fighting the dudes that he was fighting. He fought the next champ, which was Jan. He fought the next champ, which was Jiří. Then he fought, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, he fought some hard guys. I'm glad to see him back in the winning column, though. I am a fan of Reyes. Yeah. And, yeah, I'm happy he put it back together. He's found his groove again. Because he was... Like, when he fought Jones, he was unstoppable.
Oh, he did like, so good in that fight, man.
Yeah, man. Like, debatably, like...
Won it?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You know, on the forums, not in real life, but... Because that's just how life works. But still, man, crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's see what happens. It's a very, very exciting card. We'll be here with our reactions once I return, but we can actually do that hopefully quite soon after the card. So let's see what happens with UFC 314. But lastly, on the UFC front, Rob, I want to talk to you about this. So there's been a lot of fight changes recently for UFC Kansas City in particular. We were going to have the rebooking of Jamahal Hill versus Khalil Roundtree. But again, I think the first time Hill got injured, and then again, Hill's got injured again. So they've delayed this. They're not canceled it completely, but they've pushed it back to a later stage. And there was also another card. I think it was actually UFC 314. Carlos Prates was meant to fight Jeff Neal, and Jeff Neal got injured. So they were trying to find a new place for Carlos to fight. In steps Ian Garry. Ian Garry, just like with Shavkat Rakhmonov, is like, you know what? I'll fight on short notice, April 27. Let's do it. So now for the main event at UFC Kansas City, it is Ian Garry against Carlos Prates. What do you reckon about this, man? What do you reckon about Ian Garry stepping up again on short notice?
You know, he's winning me over with it. And I know he's winning over a lot of fans as well, because everyone thought he was just going to talk his way into a title shot.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case. He's taking hard fights, and like, it is only going to pay dividends.
Yeah, yeah. Especially doing favors for the UFC. We keep talking about that, especially in the last episode.
Big time.
But also as well, man, I know Carlos Prates is on a tear. He's knocking people out. Like, he's one of the fighting nerds. He's very flashy. I love the way that he fights, right? Saw him fight in Perth last year. It was freaking awesome. I think Ian's got this. I think Ian's going to be a wet blanket and do what he did against MVP and beat Jeff and beat Carlos Prates. I seriously think that's going to happen, man. Early predictions from me, but...
So do I.
Yeah.
Action. So do I.
Yeah. Like, and Carlos is good, but like...
Yeah. But Jamahal Hill gets injured a lot, doesn't he?
I shouldn't laugh, but
is it the same injury or something else?
They didn't say. Khalil doesn't even know what it was exactly, but it feels like it was an injury. Probably his leg.
That's a hard fight for him.
It is a hard fight.
Yeah,
I'm worried for Jamahal Hill after the Jiří fight, fighting Khalil Roundtree after the war that he had with Pereira,
and just Roundtree. He's so technically sound.
He's so exciting too. I love Roundtree watching him fight.
I feel like he's another guy that, like, he's either bashing a guy or he's getting bashed. I know that sounds like very silly, but if you know, you know.
Can I ask you something random, by the way, going back to the Ian Garry and Carlos Prates fight? So Carlos Prates is a freak, right? He's doing really well at the moment. The dude also smokes like 5 to 10 cigarettes a day. His words, right? Is that going to cost him in a 5-round fight, you reckon? Surely.
If not now, later. Like, it'll, nothing comes free.
Yeah.
So it'll catch up to you. Bad habits always catch up to you.
It's just kind of crazy as someone in his position, professional fighter. I don't know. Like, it's just, I remember when we were at the press conference last year, he asked one of the journalists for a smoke and offered it to him. It was just crazy.
It's funny, eh? Because there's a fine line between like stopping things that make you great and stopping things that will make you better.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, who was it? It was a Michael Jordan's coach that was talking about embracing the darkness of Jordan so that he could play the way he could.
Right.
Et cetera, et cetera. Mm. Something along those lines.
Well, it's going to be a banger of a fight. Like, we will do our predictions at some stage before. Mm. April 27 is when it's going to take place. But that is all the UFC news and fights and predictions for this week. Let us know your thoughts in the comments below, in particular about UFC 314. Are we being too biased towards the Aussie boys? Absolutely we are. Is everything good in the background?
It's all good.
The top comment on the last podcast. Is she okay?
Yeah, it's all good.
The top comment on the last episode was just like Rob's kids casually fighting a war in the background.
Yeah, everyone could tell. I've read the comments. There's a lot going on here.
But you have a big family, man. It's fine. But let's talk about some gaming news, right? We skipped out on the games news last episode. Certainly not this episode. Nintendo Switch 2. It has been fully revealed in the Nintendo Switch 2 Direct. We know a lot more about the device. It's going to have an LCD screen, unfortunately, not OLED, but it's going to support HDR, resolutions of 1080p, but also up to 120 frames per second, depending on the game. It's also going to offer 4K support when it's docked too. New controllers, Joy-Cons can be used as a mouse as well, which is really cool. Launching 5th of June. It has new features like Game Chat and Game Share, where you're able to share digital games with people in your family membership. Really awesome games as well. Mario Kart World is the big exclusive. 24-player races. It's like kind of open world. You can drive from race to race and do different things. It's pretty sick. The big talking point, though, Rob, about the Switch 2, it is the price. So it is a bit more pricey games-wise. Essentially, in the US, prices are usually $60 to $70 for Nintendo Switch games. For the Switch 2, they're going up to $80. So $80 for Mario Kart World. If I was to give you the AUD comparison, right now Switch games are anywhere from 80 to 90 AUD. They're going up to 110 to 120. Now, I want to get your thoughts on this because our prices in Australia have always been a bit weird. I remember paying $110 years ago for like games like Call of Duty when the prices were that high, and then they went back down again, and now they're going back to that level. So we have a very different experience of people in the US. But overall, what do you think about the Switch 2?
Well, it's Nintendo, man. they've like gated their games, console, their devices for eternity. Mm-hmm. So they're going to charge what they want, and you know what, like, Nintendo Love is going to pay the price for it because it's the only way you get Mario. It's the only way you get Zelda. It's the only way you get Smash Bros.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. Everything's kind of creeping up nowadays, though. I don't like the
– Everything is,
yeah. Everyone – because I also read the forums, and I'm like, everyone's complaining about, like, no one should be paying $100 for a digital version of a game, right? Mm. But that's kind of what you pay for a AAA title on Steam anyways.
At full price, like when it first comes out. But yeah. I think,
The Switch games, like Nintendo games, never go on special either. Like
that's what I was going to say.
They're always a premium, always. Mm. I guess, like, what do you do? They've got a strong grip on that whole side of the market.
It's interesting because it was probably going to happen anyways with GTA 6. Like, there's a big rumor going around that GTA 6 is probably going to be like that $80 price point. And now that Nintendo's done it, you better believe that Rockstar are going to do it with GTA 6.
Oh, everyone it's going to creep the whole market up.
At some stage, it will be. And I, like, you know, I come from a pretty – I know that there are people in that position that aren't able to afford that, right? So coming from my perspective that I can afford those games – it more comes down to the fact of whether I think I'm going to use the Switch or the Switch 2. And initially at launch, I don't think I'm going to buy it because the only reason is that the only exclusive game that's going to be on the Switch 2 is going to be Mario Kart World. And like, I love Mario Kart 8, don't get me wrong, but am I going to buy a whole console for like, you know, $600, $700 AUD, whatever it might be, to play the one game? Maybe if it was Zelda. Zelda was the exception with Breath of the Wild with the first Switch. I just don't know. I don't think I play my Switch frequently enough to at least buy it at launch. I'll wait until Pokemon. Once Pokemon is there, I'm absolutely buying it. Like that's my thing.
I may buy it for Smash Bros. So it.
Yeah.
It's the only game probably I'll play on Switch.
But you've already got Smash Bros. On Switch 1. Like there's not going to be a new one, so.
There might be.
Eventually. Yeah, eventually. Yeah. But not at launch. Yeah.
And to be fair, I need a new Switch anyway. My kids broke mine, so.
But this is the tricky thing. So like you could buy an OLED Switch and buy all those games that you want to play. Or you could buy the new Switch, which is a bit more powerful, but it's got an LCD screen. It's really tough right now. I got to give Nintendo credit here, though. I know there's been a lot of talk about pricing. But all the games being backwards compatible on Switch 2 is awesome. They're adding GameCube titles. As they should. But at least they're doing it because there was a time where that was not the standard.
Yeah. I don't like how game companies are up-marketing the games, like slowly driving that price higher and higher. Mm. But honestly, this is a discussion that is well above my pay grade because, like, where does it stop? Like, the price of living is only going up.
Yeah, man.
Like, wages has to go up. Cost of living goes up. Office hiring spaces go up. It's like, that's why I said I can't talk about it. I wish games were cheap for everyone so that everyone could be a part of it.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. You know what I do like, though? I do like how they're doing that family, friends, digital purchase, renting, loaning thing.
Yes.
I think that is amazing. And I think, like, I know Steam does it, but it is such a pain in the ass to set up. Like,
wait, how does it work on Steam?
Like, you have to have, like, an account and you can link it through family and friends. And once the account's linked, they can play any of the games when you're not playing the games.
Only when you're not playing it.
Yeah, but then you can just put one offline mode and then right? Yeah. I love that about games. So them introducing that because they're the kind of guys that don't do that. So they never make things backwards compatible. They haven't really moved in that angle of accessibility because they know people are going to buy it.
But now they are.
Yeah,
all Switch 1 games. You can play on the Switch 2. The virtual console's freaking awesome. Or not virtual console, whatever it's called.
Nintendo.
Yeah, yeah. Look, at some stage I'm going to cop it. Like, there's no denying it. I'm a huge Nintendo fan, huge Pokemon fan. Next big Zelda, absolutely copying it, right?
You know what? I don't think I'm a Pokemon fan, eh?
I know you're not. Yeah, I remember we had this discussion. You like Power World because you get to shoot them.
Yeah, that was cool, dude. But also, like, I was more of a Digimon man.
Yeah.
I don't like having so many Pokemons.
I will say this, though, Rob. Yep. There is a new game that was announced as an exclusive coming out next year, but FromSoft is doing a multiplayer Souls-style game called The Dusk Bloods for Switch 2.
Isn't that Night Rain?
There is Night Rain. Night Rain's different. It's different.
Isn't it like a Souls-like Battle Royale? Exactly the same?
I don't think we got that much info on it. We just got a flashy trailer, which looked very
Souls-like. I heard it's like a Battle Royale or something like that. Someone told me that.
Wait, Night Rain or Dust Bloods?
Night Rain.
Okay. Do you want me to describe it to you?
Night Rain or Dust Bloods?
Night Rain. I played Night Rain.
You were the one that told me. It's like there's like a circle that keeps climbing. You got to kill bosses to get gear to get...
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's not a Battle Royale because you're not fighting other people.
What do you retain per match?
There are certain things you can. So you get, like, from memory, and I forget, but you can get a currency which you trade in for certain things that you can equip and you get boosts for future games. So, like, there are some things that transfer, but most games you're starting fresh when it comes to weapons.
You know what? I might play it. I think it'd be mad to drop in with your lads. Just go medieval on some people.
It's also hard too. So, like, it's an actual challenge. You know what I mean? Game to game.
Hard for who, bro?
Oh, you don't pretend you're gonna walk in there and smash
hard
everything.
For who, bro?
Oh, please.
I was playing Dark Souls when you're on your sippy cup. Let's go.
Let us know your thoughts about the Switch 2 in the comments below. But next up, we've got what we're watching, playing, reading, as always. Rob, have you been getting up to much this past week?
I have. Mm. And you know what? I'm gonna do this as a review.
Okay.
This is my review for what I've been watching, which is Minecraft. I went and saw the Minecraft movie.
All right. Tell me.
Yep. I liked it. If you got kids, I liked it a lot. I liked it a lot. If I wasn't taking my kids, would I go? I don't know if I'd go to the movies if I wasn't taking my kids.
Sure.
I'm more of a home dude, but I really liked it. It was, I felt like they kept it really close to the game, you know? So, like, if you played the game, you could, there was like a lot of inside things that you could pick up on.
Yeah.
But if you didn't play the game, it was funny enough and accessible enough that you weren't too out of the loop. You know, you weren't just sitting there the whole time not getting the joke per se. It doesn't take itself super serious. Like, the story's kind of not even a thing really, but it's Minecraft. It's like a game, and the kids loved it.
Hell yeah.
Jack Black, I'll watch just about any movie with Jack Black in it.
Are you a Jack Black fan? Okay.
Who is it?
Not everyone's a fan of Jack Black.
Tread carefully.
I didn't say I'm not, all right? I'm indifferent to Jack Black.
Jack Black's awesome, dude. And, School of Rock. It's Jason Momoa, right? That's how you say it?
I like Momoa, yeah.
I loved the role he played Minecraft. He's my favorite role he's ever done. And their interactions were outstanding.
All right.
Overall, I really enjoyed it. Like for a family movie, wasn't too kiddie that I just hated it from start to finish.
Okay.
But yeah, I liked it. To end the review, I recommend it for anyone with a family. Or if you're I feel like if you've played Minecraft to any significant degree, you should play it as well. You should watch it as well.
Fair. Did you watch the Super Mario movie in the past with
your kids? Loved it. Great movie as well.
That's the sense that I'm getting.
A lot of the family movies nowadays are taking that direction where it's like, it's a kids movie, but let's throw in heaps of adult things that adults would find funny.
That's been the case with cartoons for like ages though. Like, have you ever gone back and watched like Simpsons or whatever? And you're like, I didn't notice that as a kid.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
In terms of playing, title update 1 just launched for Monster Hunter.
Nice.
Yep.
Have you played much of it?
I've done it literally in the last few hours, but I've been too busy.
What do you think of it so far?
I haven't played it.
Oh, okay, right. I thought you said you played for a few hours. Okay.
I'm itching to wrap this up to go cave some monsters right now.
Is that your night? Okay.
I'm really confused about like why are we killing so many monsters? Like, why are we killing the monsters?
What is the lore, by the way? I've never asked.
I don't know.
This question.
I've tried learning it, and I still don't get it. Like, I've watched countless YouTubes on it, and ultimately, I don't know. All I know is that there's a whole group of us that are like-minded individuals that just want to cave monsters, man.
Sometimes you don't need a reason.
Yeah, dude. You know?
Fair.
That's me.
All right. So I actually got the opportunity to review a game early. Xbox sent me a code for South of Midnight. This is their latest game that's going to be on Game Pass, one of their, you know, homegrown studios creating it. So it is a third-person action-adventure game. It's kind of set in the deep south of America. You play as Hazel, and you're exploring that kind of like southern folklore in this fantastical, magical world. I'm not going to give away too many spoilers or anything. So, like, something happens in her hometown. She becomes this thing called a weaver, and she can, like, cast spells and, like, mend certain things and interact with spirits. And with those abilities, she's going through and she's, like, killing creatures and figuring out her family's past and finding a new home. So that's, like, the general TLDR of the game. It's quite different to what I'm used to playing. So it's like 78 on OpenCritic. I agree with a lot of the reviewers that it has like a lot of rich folklore. Like, that's definitely the compelling factor of it. The story is very emotional. The gameplay is solid. Like, some parts of the platforming, I felt like I kept falling, and maybe that was my fault and I needed to get a little bit better at it. But there's no doubt that it's incredibly beautiful. The one downside of it that I will say is that eventually the combat does become a little bit more repetitive and you need a little bit more variety. Like, in the beginning, you're getting introduced to new spells and whatever that you can take down creatures, and that's great, but then that stops and then it's pretty samey for the rest of the game. Also as well, sometimes it's like the visuals are like stop motion-y at times. So sometimes I'm like, is the frame rate dropping or is that just the way that it's meant to be, especially with the characters and the way that they move? It's a really interesting game. I don't know if it's like completely up my alley, but I appreciate it for what it is. I'm not too sure if this is a game that you would enjoy, though. I think it's different.
Yeah, you lost me when you said she.
Oh, come on, Rob. That's come on,
kind
Rob.
Of when I just turned it off.
You could play.
Off. Are you finished?
Yeah, joking. You could play as a I'm female joking. Character and enjoy it, right? I'm sure there's a game that you've played as one, right?
Nah.
You played Last of Us.
Nah. The only game where
Tomb Raider.
The only game where I played there's you know I can count the amount of games I've played as a woman and I haven't finished any of them.
Which
Code Veronica, Resident Evil, great game. It's a classic.
It's a great game. Well, there you go.
But you see, back then you didn't like games were few and far between, so you didn't have a choice. If you had to play as a girl to play a game, you played as a girl. We have so much selection and variety nowadays.
Sure.
Okay. Final Fantasy X-2, because huge Final Fantasy fan.
Sure.
Especially like that era coming off 10.
Mm-hmm.
They continued the story in X-2. Heard a certain person might be able to come back if you finish it a certain way. Did my best to get through it. Could not, but did that one as well. Tried playing Final Fantasy 16. And that, again, could not immerse myself in it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I've tried a couple times. I have. Mm. I tried playing Last Horizon Dawn.
Oh, Zero. I really liked Zero
I
Dawn.
Tried getting into that even because it's cool. Jack was playing a lot of dinosaurs. I love shooting dinosaurs. let me cave some monsters.
It's
dude.
Cool
I'm
gameplay,
for
man.
It.
Yeah.
Again, just couldn't sell me on it.
Okay, no, fair enough. Well, look, like, again, I don't think South of Midnight is up your alley, but the thing is, it's on Game Pass. I think if you're interested in that kind of folklore and just on a game that has a decent story that gets emotional where you're interacting with characters a lot, there's a lot of relationship building, that's this kind of game. You're not coming into it for, like, the most innovative, crazy platforming or whatever. It's like the combat is competent. It gets you from point to point. Yeah, it's a pretty interesting game. If that sounds like up your alley, I think you might like it. But if not, it's probably a game that you can skip.
Mm-hmm.
But finally, Rob, viewer questions. As always, if you have any viewer questions, let us know in the comments below. First up, we've got at Carulion. Great podcast as always. Question for Rob. Since you spoke about the UFC Mexico card, how would you deal with fighting at elevation? Mexico City and places like Salt Lake City, Utah are notorious for fighters gassing out. You've always had great cardio. So how would you deal with it? Arriving early and acclimatizing to it? What do you reckon, Rob?
Yeah, definitely. I reckon the plan would be to arrive like that month and a half early and finish the camp there. Yeah, it takes a while to oxidize your bloods properly. Yeah. So I think just getting there that time, adjust properly to be able to, you know, do diligence, right?
But with a big family, would you take a fight in one of those cities nowadays?
You have to do it. You have to. Well, what? Get bashed.
Or just don't accept the fight. I know you're Mr. I'll take on anyone, but like a month away from fam, that must be hard, bro.
You don't really get to pick, right?
You could say no to a fight, surely. You don't. Others do. Other fighters do, is what I'm saying. Next question is from at Kevin Duperret 1910. What fight movie influenced you guys the most growing up and why was it Bloodsport? Pretty good shout. Mine,
you know what? Go.
Never Back Down. Never Back Down, easy.
Never Back Down.
Yeah. For sure.
Bloodsport didn't influence me that much because I only got into it when I only watched it when I was much older.
Mm-hmm.
Fight movie. I'm trying to think of a fight movie. Like, I grew up watching Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Right. Jackie Chan's a legend, bro.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
Do you know who's also legit as well? And don't get me wrong, I can't name a single
Bruce
movie
Lee,
that he's been in.
Chuck Norris. You
know, Chuck Norris?
Those
yeah.
dudes, wild.
What about Michael Jai White? Do you rate him?
No, I don't think I've watched too many of his movies.
He's like really legit at martial arts.
Kids today won't know about him, but like Jet Li back in the day, like Unleashed, dude. Jet Li,
yeah, Unleashed is a good shout.
Unleashed was a good movie,
yeah. Karate Kid, the original Karate Kid,
yuck.
Oh,
You know, if we're going kid movies, I'd probably go Three Ninjas Strike Back.
Oh, Three Ninjas is great. Three Ninjas is great. What's the other one?
What's that Beverly Hills Karate? You know, the one where there's that big fat guy that passed away and he's got the brother who's like Liu Kang. And he's a total stuff up though, but he comes from a monastery. Oh, what's it called? I forget.
You're gonna have to Google it now.
Someone in the comments will let us know.
For me, Big Trouble in Little China was freaking awesome. You remember that? The original freaking rated.
I don't remember seeing it.
Those are good movies, man. But yeah, for me, it was definitely Never Back Down. Next question is from @ZionAzam. Your name's this episode, 110456. Question for both of you. Weren't you guys into Zelda at all? What about the newer ones on the Switch? Rob?
Johnny's heaps in Zelda.
I am.
Yeah, Johnny.
For sure. Like, ever since Ocarina of Time, Breath of the Wild. I will say this. Love Breath of the Wild because it was so new and different. But then Tears of the Kingdom, I did drop at some stage, and that's when I stopped playing my Switch pretty much. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was because it was almost too similar and it didn't shake up Breath of the Wild enough. And I just don't know if I engage with the whole, like, you can build like crazy, like turrets and cars and all this crazy stuff. And I was like, this is too much. I'm getting overwhelmed. I'm just going to put it down and leave. I like the simplicity sometimes of some Zelda games. So But I still love Zelda.
I don't like not being able to create my character for one, but I got around that. Two, I hate how my weapon breaks. I hate it. Always have. I just hate it. I liked the machine building. I liked being able to build those like quadruped cannon wielding machines. I thought that was cool because in my head, I was like, this is my weapon, my builder. Okay. But it just got too much for me because I was like trying to rush building. So I had to go like super early. I had to rush through certain parts, get items, had to rush down into the dark place downstairs.
Yeah.
I had to like get certain pieces, beat certain bosses to unlock certain pieces. Yeah. Trying to beat certain bosses with sticks and stones was just too hard. So,
do you know what I've noticed when you talk? And I remember you doing this with Starfield as well. You just rush to the building. And if you're like, the base building isn't good, you bounce. You're like, screw this.
Well, yeah, because I play a game for a certain reason.
Sure.
So I want to be able to invest in that reason. It's like Monster Hunter. It's like they want you to build all these crappy armors to get to the high rank. No, dude. Don't make me wait 80 hours of playtime to get to the end game where I'm going to start building my armors. Like, I hate story-gated stuff. Fair. Hate it.
Fair.
Hate story.
You just don't like story anymore.
I'm done with story. I'm too old for it.
I don't understand. Like, oftentimes you get older, you enjoy a good story in a game, you know?
I make the story, though. I make the story. I have the story coming into the game. I'm a monster hunter, and I hate monsters.
That's a terrible story.
The end. The end.
It's so basic. I make a great story. I hate monsters.
Dude, ever since I was born, I just wanted to kill monsters. It was my calling.
Oh, bro. I think that's why you're going to like Doom of the Dark Ages. And all it is Doomslayer, angry, shoot demon.
Yeah, man.
Next question. I included this one for you, Rob. From @i.e@thepad, Jesus, 2933. I swear this episode, you're all trying to annoy me. Hey, Rob and Johnny, have you guys ever seen the anime Samurai Champloo, and what are your thoughts on it?
Probably top 10, like
of all time.
Yeah, I'd give it like a proper 9 out of 10.
Like, hold on.
Hitting 10 super hard, but I give it a 9 out of 10. It is so good.
You'd give it like a 9.5, right?
Nah, 9. Have you seen
it? You can't say something is top 10 or top 5 and say it's 9 out of 10. That makes no sense.
Why? Because 10 is near impossible to get, and 9.5, you're getting into those top 5s, and with 1 being 10.
I disagree. And this goes to a whole discussion.
Yeah. Pause. You can't disagree with my personal ranking system.
I disagree with what 10 out of 10 means. You know what I mean?
Okay. Is it 10 out of 10 for you is like more accessible?
I don't think 10 out of 10 necessarily means perfection. No game, no anime, no nothing is perfection, right?
Yeah, but that's what 10 is though.
No, but it doesn't need to be. This isn't a freaking math test.
And far between.
Sure, but like I think of some games that are like, yeah, sure, not everything's perfect. Sometimes there's a bug here and there, but I'd still rate it 10 out of 10.
Mate, You Lie in April is a 10 out of 10 anime.
Like, but are you telling me there is not a single thing wrong with it?
Everyone will tell you, or anyone of worth.
Not a single, dude, not even I one cried. Little bit.
I cried watching You Lie in April. It is, nah, I didn't. I don't cry. But my tears watered, like they got
That's
blurry.
Called crying,
nah,
Rob.
Dude. But no tear came down. They stayed right there. They stayed right there. But still, no, it choked me up a bit. It's so good.
You cannot tell. I don't deny
that's
that it's
a 10.
Good.
I give it a 10. It was like art. And but you're so telling much me. Actual music, like Mozart sure. and Chopin and all sorts of stuff in it. Made me appreciate classical piano.
Wait, it actually had like Mozart and is it Chopin, not Chopin?
It's not Chopin?
I don't know how to pronounce it. Like, you didn't pronounce Tucson then? Right. You didn't pronounce Tucson right, so I don't know what's right anymore.
I did. I just called it Chopin. But yes, they like it gave me like an appreciation for classical music. Okay. Like it's actually really good.
But you're telling me there's not a single thing wrong with it.
Not from my head. It's so good.
Okay. Let me know in the comments.
In the comments. Let us know if you think You Lie in April is a 10 out of 10. But Samurai Champloo is a good 9. I really liked it. It's one of the few animes that has a side character, like a Sasuke-esque character, that I didn't hate with every fiber of my being.
Fair. By the way, like ever since our last episode, I have been seeing comments about Solo Leveling and people complain that he's too overpowered.
Yeah, because it's terrible. It's like
it's not terrible.
It is. It's bad. It's bad.
But Rob, how many anime do we have that are freaking? You know, shonen, they get better, they improve, they get beaten and they improve again. And like, there's a million of them, you know?
Yeah, I understand that's like the general thing for those animes, right? But you got to be crafty about it. Like, that's what separates a great anime from a good anime. That's what separates a great anime to an amazing anime.
Sure.
Is your delivery in that aspect. So I told you, Solo Leveling I thought was good. I just thought they dropped the ball a little bit at the end.
That's fair. Out of curiosity, what other anime would you rate 10 out of 10?
Oh, it's hard. That's super hard.
Brotherhood? Full Metal Alchemist?
Nah, definitely not.
Because that dropped the ball with the end. Like, it was almost perfect.
There are a lot of moments that were kind of rushed. If you ever watched the first Full Metal Alchemist, like I think Brotherhood's better, but the first Full Metal Alchemist was pretty good. I feel like it was a little bit more serious.
So I watched a YouTube video telling me the difference as to why there are two. Which one is better?
I watched them a fair thing apart. I just remember Full Metal Alchemist, not Brotherhood, was darker. I feel like it was darker.
Fair.
That's all.
All right. Well, those are all the viewer questions for episode 63 of the MMA Arcade podcast. If you are still watching or listening at this point, we really do appreciate you. It is actually a shorter episode, Rob. It is shorter. Because you didn't say so.
For a bigger card, you know. I know. Like I said, I think I curse it every time I try.
Well, Rob, as always, closing thoughts for the episode. Let's go.
Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Please subscribe. Want my trophy? Otherwise, see you next week.